fighting, hatred, fear. Had enough of the noise?
So much for this incredible moment that we have to spend together today. I don't know about you. I'm super happy to be here. I hope you're happy to be here as well. Or just, I'm grateful for you bringing me into your home or bringing me into your ears, at least, no matter what you might be doing today and getting to be a part of your day. It's always a treat for me. And I hope it's a treat for you most of the time. I know sometimes I go on some rants and raves and things like that. And might be like, whoa, he's on one today. Well, we're not going to be on one today. It's going to be really chill and everything. So I really am enjoying this conversation that we're having about philosophy. And so if you want to get into the first part of this conversation, we actually did it earlier in the week on Looking for Healing Radio. This is the second part. I don't know how many parts they're going to be. It's just feel like, you know, I spend so much time in the research world, and I spend so much time in testing, where we're looking for numbers, you know what I mean? We're looking for things, and it's this, you know, sometimes it's easy to lose sight of the reason, the why, and the principles, you know, because you're looking for a number to validate something. And it's fun to get back into philosophy. It's fun to get into the thing that's so often missed in our world right now, like the existential question, just because we can do something, should we do it? You know, I mean, it's such a basic consideration. Right now, it's very easy to see in the world. It's all about, can we do it? Can we do it? Can we do it? Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Is there money to be made? Money, 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 money. And that's pretty much as far as our consideration goes, which is, when you study world history, always to the detriment of we the people. You know, most of us who are just saying, what do we love about our lives? We love, you know, spending time with our little ones and our fuzzy babies. And we love spending time with our significant others and, you know, and traveling and going places and seeing new things. And, you know, and also a lot of just seeing things we've already seen before that help bring us back into a state of our existence where we feel good, that things make sense to us, and we realize that we're part of something far greater than ourselves, and that we're really relatively minuscule in this whole grand scheme when you get to it, but we are essential nevertheless, you know. And that's this beautiful dichotomy that we get to explore when we give ourselves a chance, I think, to slow down. You know, I was talking with Dr. Artis this week and Dr. Schmidt, I was talking with Ed. We had a really fun thing we did on Healing for the Ages, another masterclass. So I'd encourage you to go to Healing for the Ages and check it out. The masterclass was so much fun. And everybody that's attending is just so much fun to be around, all of our audience. Like, we love hanging out with you. But what was really, really cool about it was that you get together for a couple hours and we get to share some information and everything like that. And of course, from the heart, the betterment of all. But we get to laugh a lot together, you know. That's one of those things that, it's, you might laugh over new things, but the act of laughter is what is so familiar, you know, and that's what I want to talk about in this segment. So go to healingfortheages.com and make sure it's on the homepage right now for a few days, and then we'll move it over to another place on the homepage, but go and take a look at it. It's a really fun masterclass. We've done three of them so far. We're going to be doing them every month for the foreseeable future. And in May 23rd, we have another one. So put that on your calendar, 5 p.m. Pacific, May 23rd. I think that masterclass is going to be EMF, there's nothing to worry about, right? I think that's going to be our lead up into the 2024 Virtual Solutions Summit on EMFs and Earthing that is going on, that we're putting on May 25th. So just 2 days later on Saturday. It's going to be an all-day thing. Definitely register for it. If you register before May 3rd, it's only $59. And you get access to the replays and all the handouts and all this information that's going to help you really never have to worry about these EMFs ever again. Like the stuff that we agree to expose ourselves to with our computers, our phones, the things around the house, that we're going to show you how to develop a lifestyle that actually we can prove nullifies, neutralizes all of these EMFs so that you can enjoy the technology without it having doing harm to your body, which I think is super exciting, right? Like we don't have to worry about this now that we kind of really sunk our teeth into this topic. So again, that's healingforthages.com on the 23rd of May and the 25th of May. 23rd is free, 25th is a registered event. So just go and check it out. You're gonna love it. The topics we've listed online on the website and everything. You're gonna love it. I'm so excited. I can't wait to present and go after it. You're gonna see some things that we've been doing with these incredible microscopes that we've purchased. You're gonna see some things that you've never seen before. It's just really, really there. So there's gonna be some newness there. Okay, and not scary newness like, oh my God, I'm supposed to worry about this. No, newness of, hey, this is what's going on, and this is how we do what we do about it, natural medicine. Well, what I wanted to talk with you about in this first segment is, and then we'll keep getting into the philosophy. We're going to revisit something we talked about in the first part of this whole series that we're doing right now. We're going to revisit that today because you get into radio and you get into content creation, for your business and everything, right? And there's so much to talk about. There is absolutely so much to talk about. But you get into this, I think it's a trap. You get into this trap of everything always has to be new. Well, when do we really learn? You see, our brains are these incredible bioelectric, cellular organized devices that allow us to understand ourselves within this realm, that help us understand consciousness and separate what we are, who we are from our external environment, so that we can understand this relative difference between all of it. It's a key factor in the learning process. Our brains are designed to learn. So if you're not feeding your brain new things, it's going to stagnate. So there definitely is an incredible argument for newness. In fact, I was just talking with Sayer G yesterday, and he sent me this incredible conversation he had with an AI, an artificial intelligence, and I'm going to be engaging in artificial intelligence as well, because we are attempting to figure out whether the artificial generated intelligence has been achieved or not, and that's what we're trying to figure out, and how malleable this is and whatnot. So it's a very interesting thing. I will tell you right now, I'm very concerned about AI, and we've already done a show on it, but we're going to be doing more shows on it. It's a topic we have to talk about. But getting back to the idea of newness, when you're into content creation and, of course, into attempting to attract people into your business and what you do, because, of course, it helps generate revenue ultimately, and revenue helps you take care of your little ones. Like my little one's a big one. He's about to graduate, from college and things like that. It puts you in a situation. It puts you in a situation really where you start thinking only newness, only newness, only newness. And the way the brain is designed is under the principles of what's called neurosynaptic plasticity. And what neurosynaptic plasticity is, the flexibility of the brain to establish new neural connections And what that flexibility to establish new neural connections do is it helps the brain not only understand on a deeper level what it has been exposed to, but also extrapolate what it's learned in problem solving to other things. So that's why we need to, it's essential for us to stay in a constant state of exposure to new things and growing. But the danger with that is when you're establishing and you're just focused only on new. I only want new, only if it's not new. And we see this with how we are devouring information right now, is that it's always, I need something new. Oh, I already heard that. Okay, well, you already heard it. Did you master it? You understand where I'm coming at? Because it typically takes 500 to 1,000. I think I've seen some studies showing that it's about 300, as low as 300, but generally it takes about 500 to 1,000 repetitions of something before the brain establishes a locked in neural network. That synaptic plasticity locks itself in. Okay. The brain is very flexible, so two neurons can come together temporarily when there's a new experience. But what determines whether they stay connected is going to be repetition, the need to see things over and over again, things that were once new and very exciting because we didn't really understand them, that sometimes we get into this mode of, oh, I've already heard that, therefore I understand it. Whoa, let's slow down. Just because you've heard something and just because you can recall that you've heard something doesn't mean you understand it. And really, you can prove that you understand it until you can apply that information. So I've seen it over the last 4 years with the art of cellular healing. I've seen it with the work we did on water last year and are still doing on water. I mean, I'm still running some tests and things like that on it. We just want to keep proving. We're doing, I'll be talking to Pat or Durkin today from the Wellness Enterprise. He's put together the entire package. You can go in one swoop now and get the Alexa Pure system for stage one filtration, get a distiller for stage two, and then get his structuring device, the Aqua Energizer, for stage three. You can now get it all in one package, and he's reducing cost and everything. It's just, he's just got such a great heart. You know, like that's where his mind is always like, we want to get this stuff out to everybody. We understand the urgent need it is really for everyone. But if you listen to a presentation that I gave or an interview that I gave or one of these radio shows that I've done on the holy water, right? We call lovingly and of course, tongue in cheek, because we want you to be able to laugh a little bit about all this. But that you can cultivate water garden, whatever you want to call it. I always feel like I'm water gardening. But you can purify and create your own homebrewed holy water, right? And I'm really serious about that still too. It's funny, you know, it's homebrewed holy water. You know, it's like one of these kind of country fried phrases. You know, it sounds pretty fun and everything. But I am very adamant about the word holy in it. Like, hey, you are taking water and you are purifying it. You're purifying it so it can not only wipe the negative memories that it's been exposed to, but it also can now be structured into positive energies and very, very, very open to receiving healing tones like the sylphagio frequencies and being very open to healing intention like prayer, being very open to healing structuring devices like the Aqua Energizer. You know, because it's very malleable and water does have a memory of its own. So if I only heard one interview or I only heard and watched one presentation live and only did it once, I've been exposed to it. I know that I've already seen that once, but do I understand it enough to be able to apply it? And this is the point that I want to make in this opening segment to you all. Let's be very cautious about this rabid thirst that we have for new. And this immediate dismissiveness that we have when we feel like we're hearing something again. Oh, I already heard that. I already watched that. I already know that. Really? Or have you set up your water system? Are you home brewing your own holy water? Have you taken the taste tests between that and the other waters so that you know we aren't doing anything other than this? Have you given your body months of doing it to turn over all the water that you is in your body with this new water that's also structured? Have you felt it and understand it on a different level? Have you explored the realms of what natural semiconductors you can now bring into your body to accentuate earthing, you see? And have you started trying to connect it to other natural healing modalities? Because I can tell you right now, I'm the guy that put it together. I'm the guy that uses it every single day. And I don't feel like I understand it nearly as well as it can be understood ultimately. That there's still a lot to learn in there. There is newness within the repetition of what we go through. And there is newness awaiting us in the repetition of what we go through when we give ourselves the ability to enjoy the repetition as much as we enjoy the new exposure. So for me, I started feeling like I've got to always bring something new to the table. I've got to always bring something new to the table on every radio show. I've got to bring something new to the table in every class and every master class I teach and every interview I teach. And it starts becoming this exhausting thing because I'm constantly chasing new and not spending nearly enough time in mastery of what I already know. So I can tell you, yeah, I saw something, but I can't really tell you with confidence that I understand it. And that's not a place I like to be. And that's why you may have heard me in the last couple of weeks, month or so, like kind of stepping back a little bit and saying, hey, we're not doing that anymore. Hey, we're changing some things up. Why? Because I want to be sure, as a teacher, that's what I am at heart. I want to be sure I'm helping my students get into a place of mastery, not just a place of exposure. And how do I know people are getting into a place of mastery? Because the questions start changing. Instead of, how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I do this? My thought when I hear those, some of those basic questions, there's a fair question, it's a good question. But if you had spent some time actually doing it, that question would answer itself. What you're really telling me is you're not doing the work. You're not getting into the repetition. You've listened to what I have to say, but you haven't applied it yet. And so what I'm going to encourage you all to do is let's not just hear things that are cool, not always just seek what's new, and add more on. Let's start getting into a collective conscious approach that says, let's get better. And there is but one way that we know of, tried and true, time-tested and proven, to get better and better and better and better and better. And that is through repetition. So you're going to hear me in radio shows moving forward for a little bit. I'll keep bringing new stuff that we haven't heard yet because I'm still exploring new things, of course. But you're going to hear me doing some repetition. Because there are important things that I think we have kind of gone, oh, I've already heard that. I already know that. I'm going to be dismissive of that. I already know. Really? You mean we shouldn't talk about fasting again? You mean we shouldn't talk about organic nutrition again? Do you mean we shouldn't talk about meditation again and the power of prayer? We already talked about it once. That was enough. The things that are so essential and fundamental to our lives, these are the things we should talk about all the time. Because that repetition helps lock the brain in to this becoming a way of life. And that's what I want to share with you. So we'll take a short break, come right back with more Energetic Health Radio, and let's get back into the philosophy. We're going to pick up where we left off from part one. And start looking at the healing arts versus the healing sciences. I felt like I rushed it a little bit. And as a teacher, I have the right, if you will, to make those determinations and say, let's spend a little bit more time in this thought. I really want to make sure you understand it so that you can start applying that knowledge in a repetition as well. Be right back with more Energetic Health Radio right after these messages.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's the perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus and strengthen recall. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back, guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code Out loud.
All right, healers, welcome back. I'm going to tell you a couple things right here. Of course, Energetic Health Institute is awesome. I don't brag about it in that way and don't really talk about it in that way, but it's awesome, not because of itself. It's awesome because of all the people. If you're out there right now and you are looking for a place that is going to embrace you as a family and where you are going to get to practice that repetition we talked about in the first segment, be exposed to a lot of really awesome and cool ideas, but get a chance to experience it so it becomes a part of you and you feel confident incorporating into a new lifestyle that you get to craft and be the artist of and decide what is what. What you're doing is you're saying, I'm done being a patient and I'm ready to be a student, right? Well, in my opinion, of course, it is biased, very much so. There is no better place in the world to do that than the Energetic Health Institute. You get to meet incredible people, learning incredible skill sets that are going to navigate all the craziness in the world. You get to see people from all walks of life coming together because they realize it's not about what we identify as. It's what's in our hearts that really matters. This weekend, I'm going to San Diego, I think, to go to the National Association of Nutrition Professionals Conference. Going to see a whole bunch of EHI grads and current students and things like that hang out. We're going to have a family night, make dinner together. You know, this is something we do traditionally. Every year, we make sure there's a couple days every year we can all get together so that people can make it out. That's what you're coming into. You're coming into a family, not just atmosphere, but a real family and people that want to embrace you. So it's more than just it's much more than just what's in the classrooms. And what's in the classrooms is phenomenal by itself. But there's something even greater when you give yourself to come and be a part of. So make sure you go and check out and get our free EMF guide at the very least. We just released, I think, a free 9-part course on a journey into energetic health, you know, so you can kind of get a feel for it and get a feel, is it right for you? You know, it's not right for you. We respect that. You know, we're all about free will. But My guess is if you're listening to me, it's probably going to be right for you. And we'd love to have you come on in, check us out, and spend a little time, stay a while. There's a lot to learn. We have a lot to share. And it is undoubted that you will be better for it. So go to energetichealthinstitute.org and join us real, real soon if you haven't already. We also want to give a big shout out to globalhealing.com, the finest, most potent, most effective natural medicines in the world today. Dr. Group, this just last night, did this incredible thing on the free masterclass where he was going off on product after product after product that is currently in development at Global Healing to deal with the greatest challenge, the greatest threat of our existence in really in human history, at least known human history. I can say that very confidently. And it's just so exciting to see. I was thinking this morning, I was like, where would we be without Global Healing? You know, where would we be without Dr. Group? Anybody that thinks that we can get through this crazy time period we're in right now in a good way without Global Healing, without Dr. Group, you have lost your mind. And you don't understand the depth of what is there. And it is manifested in every bottle of medicine that is produced. So your money is hard earned. I know that. You want the best for your fuzzy babies. You want the best for your kids, right? How about we include you into that equation and you want the best for yourself too? That means we got to start putting the best into our bodies. And when you go to Global Healing and use promo code OUTLOUD, you've made that commitment to including yourself in that equation. Because remember this, healers, you can only give that which you have to give. So give yourself the best so you can give the very best to everybody who depends on you. Go to globalhealing.com. Okay, well, we're going to take a look here at where we left off, but I'm going to back up a little bit. Let's do a little repetition here, right? Not everything doesn't have to be new. There's newness in the repetition. I think that's the message right there. There's newness in the repetition. You know, I remember when I was fighting, you know, we had mirrors up all around the studio and everything. And so you're constantly observing your body position. I suspect dancers go through this a lot too, right? There's not much difference between dancing and fighting other than the intent. And, you know, but there's a constant exploration of what your body is and in the right position, everything. But what are you doing? Constant repetition, repetition, repetition. And ultimately in that repetition, you learn something new. How to move more efficiently, how to sequence your movements, and how to coordinate your nervous system with your muscular system and all of this to maximize the objective, the goal movement that you're attempting to create. You know, like that's what it's all about. I love that time. I miss that time in my life when I was just every day going to a studio and fighting. I miss it. You know, my teacher is going actually into the Karate Hall of Fame. He's a 10th degree black belt, Ron Chappelle. Badass. Total ass. But, you know, you get these moments, right, where you get this incredible value of what repetition is. There is, like I said, newness in repetition. Everything doesn't have to always be new, like, feed me something I've never seen before. I've never seen before. I've never seen before. I've never seen before. Okay, that's great. That's stimulating. It's certainly going to get a dopamine release out of you. But does it allow your nervous system to lock in and understand it so you can apply that knowledge in what we would call wisdom? Well, we were talking in the last part of this philosophical exploration really into healing and energetic health in a way. It's a system of thought that I've been creating for, you know, 25 years. And the question we had posed was healing arts or healing sciences, which is better? And, you know, the main point was that the art, when we look at things from an art, because, you know, this is by design. This is by social conditioning design. It's ridiculous that we go, it's the healing arts. And everybody's so proud. What do you do? I'm a practitioner of the healing arts. I'm an artist. Well, yeah, of course you are. There's an artistry, an immense artistry to these unique personal experiences of working with someone and helping them heal. Of course there is. There's definitely an art to it. But the thing about art is it's super subjective. You know, whether or not somebody's getting better or not can be really subjective. And that's where you see in the healing arts something that just drives me up the wall is people will be like, oh, I'm getting great results. Okay, what are those great results? And they can't put their finger on it. I'm like, well, how do you know you're getting great results? Because of course the scientist in me steps up, you know, it's like wants to ask some objective questions. How are you measuring that? You know, how did you know? Now, when we talk about certain things, there is no measurement. Right? Maybe there is. Maybe I could pull up a multimeter today and measure this, but what I'm about to share with you. But really, there's no measurement. And, you know, the real big thing is there's no need to measure it. You know, who cares? I'm always reminded of a scene in Contact, the movie Contact, between Matthew McConaughey and Jodie Foster, where, you know, she's basically stating her position on atheism and she doesn't believe in God and blah, 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 you know, and everything. And, you know, because she's like, I need more data. I need more data. It's like, okay, well, sweetheart, I had great news for you. Your existence is the data, right? But he encapsulated it in a really wonderful thought. And he just simply said to her, she's like, I need proof, you know, I need proof of God's existence. And he said to her, Matthew McConaughey's character said back to her, did you love your father? Now, Jodie Foster's character had lost her father when she was very young, and she loved him very, very much, right? He was everything to her. And so Matthew McConaughey's character says, you know, did you love your father? And she said, yes, you know, like, of course, like, how dare you even ask me that question? You know, there was offense in it. Beautiful acting. And he said the most profound thing in the movie that I thought. Because after she said, yes, of course, I love my father. He said, prove it. How do you prove that? How do you prove that you love someone? It's impossible. And of course, when as you start to even attempt to, you enter into the realm of like law and litigation because it becomes an argument. Love doesn't seek to argue. So it's kind of a ridiculous exploration to begin with. But that's the whole subjective nature of things. Like there are some things that are just purely subjective and that's fine. They don't need to be objectified like love. It doesn't need that. It's fine as it is. Well, in the healing arts, that's not fine, in my professional opinion. Well, why? Why isn't that fine? That's not fine because the healing arts are involved with another person and helping that person heal. And if we're going to really heal and we do a really good job, you know, it's like this idea of, you ever made a recipe and just threw some things together out of your refrigerator and you weren't really thinking about it and you put it together and it was amazing. And you were like, wow, that was really good. And you're like, I have no idea how I did that. Well, now all this incredible thing that just happened because you were practicing art, this incredible thing that just happened in the healing arts, if we apply that recipe analogy, how are you going to reproduce it? Great. You invented the greatest experience of all time, but you can't reproduce it. So we know it's possible, but we don't know how to do it again. And that's where science comes in. Science is saying, well, if I'm objective and we measure it, now we start building a blueprint, a map to how we can do this again, how we can. Now the teacher comes out because the teacher's like, oh, this is great because I want to learn how to do this so that I can teach other people how to do it. Well, what we're talking about is reproducibility. And so if we're talking about reproducibility, we are talking about repetition and the incredible importance of it. So last show, I had talked about science, you know, as something that asks questions, you know, whereas art really is about making a statement. And so there's this dichotomy, this yin and yang that's being established there. And I think the one of the dangers in the healing arts, and why I'm very much like, yeah, I'm an artist, but that's not what I go by, is that the healing arts are, because it's a statement and because it's about an individualized expression of creative knowledge, healing arts are going to see everyone as different, unique, right? And that's not a bad thing. But it also doesn't necessarily promote the deeper understanding that is brought in by repetition. See, the healing arts are always like, hey, I want something new. I need new. Well, what about the newness and the repetition? Because if we understand the newness and the repetition, what starts happening is now I can begin seeing a pattern. And when I can start seeing a pattern, I can start understanding on a deeper level in that newness what needs to happen in sequence, how things work together, how the dots connect, what's the pattern. Now I have a roadmap to reproducibility. And if we're talking about healing, isn't that what we want? If we're talking about somebody expressing themselves on a canvas, you know, painting and things like that, yeah, do it, do whatever you want, right? It's fine. But if we're talking about healing, we want to get results. We want to get better. We want to make sure that when I do X, Y, and Z, this, that the result is going to be accelerated healing by the body. Because really, the body does the healing anyway. It's just these things help. So what this brought up for me in looking at healing arts or healing sciences was some definitions, to be sure, but really a greater understanding, which is the healing arts and the healing sciences are both needed. They're complements to each other. Whenever you have just science and no art, you're going to have a very cold world that says God doesn't exist. Prove it, right? If I can't prove it, then I will not engage in the exploration of that belief. And if you have all art and no science, you have no structure to be able to share any knowledge gained, any wisdom gained, any light that's brought in with other people so that they may do what you've done and potentially discover the wisdom that you've discovered. But more importantly, instead of it being told to them, discover it for themselves so it is a part of who they are. You see, when you change your physical brain and it's manifested in how we think and how we see the world, our perspective, when you change that perspective, you are changing your physical brain. Your brain is actually definitively rewiring itself. And that's where emotion and thought become something that is physically manifested. So with where we had left off, the basic thing is really simple. Healing is both an art and a science. And just like day and night and yin and yang and negative and positive, with respect to healing, both art and science need each other if their full potential is going to be realized. And what's the full potential when we're talking about the healing arts and the healing sciences? The restoration of the physical body and the re-enlightenment of the spiritual body and bringing them into pure alignment, pure unification together. This is the very tenet of what yoga is. Yoga actually means yoke, which is to unite two different things. So when we talk night and day, yin and yang, negative and positive, we're also concluding there newness and repetition, that you need them both. And one of the things that I'm concerned about in our society right now, how we are choosing to engage in our own existence, is that we are out of balance with that and really trending heavily into newness, 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 newness. And what gets lost is the wisdom that is gained from repetition. Just food for thought. We'll be right back with more Energetic Health Radio right after these messages.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
All right, healers, welcome back. Last segment here. I don't know about you, but I'm a man that believes in codes over conveniences. I take oaths and given words very serious that these are sacred contracts we are engaging in, that people may forget what you say, but they're never going to forget the way you make them feel. So when we honor our codes and our sacred oaths, people feel better about each other, feel better about you, you know, when you honor the word that you've given. And the same is true in just the opposite direction when you give your word and you break it. Essentially, what are you telling someone? You're telling someone that I don't care about you enough to keep my own word, you know? And you start getting into all these conversations of value and whether or not a person matters and all this other stuff, you know, and I think that's what we've seen in the world, you know, just the whole Black Lives Matter movement, that farce, you know. Can't tell you how many times I've seen Black Lives Matter stuff over the years where there were no Black people anywhere to be seen, you know. It what it tells and speaks to, though, is I think a deeper longing, you know, that people have to matter. And in the case of the Black Lives Matters movement, to assuage guilt when people didn't do nothing wrong. I mean, I think one of the most ridiculous things we have in our society right now in America is that people feel guilty for something they didn't do. You know, like a person feels guilty for being white. Are you kidding me? Did you put anybody in slave chains? Did you whip them? Did you sell their offspring? No? Okay, then you have nothing. You didn't do anything wrong. You have nothing to feel guilty for. But it's those people that have that learned guilt that start making even worse decisions and saying, well, I'm now going to take a Black person and I'm going to become a champion for them because I am also saying in that a racist statement subliminally that I don't believe that Black person has the ability to champion themselves. So I'm going to step in and do it. I mean, you have to understand, for Black people, that is incredibly overtly racist. Even though Black folks would be like, yeah, you know, it's no different than Plessy versus Ferguson or any of the other stuff that's going on, you know, in the history of this country. But it's just ridiculous when you get down to it. You know, my question to people, like when you start seeing the guilt come up, is, did you do something wrong? Were you ill-intended? No, then you have nothing to feel bad for. You have nothing to feel guilty over. It's ridiculous. And why would you torment yourself and subject yourself to such a thought? Why would you, if I put a whip out on the table, would you grab it and try to beat yourself with it? That's ridiculous. It's stupid to even do. And if we don't have that conversation with folks, then what happens is you start getting runaway narratives like we saw. And then you get conflictual groups, because what was the whole goal of that in the first place? It wasn't about Black Lives Mattering. It was about polarity. It was about creating polarity and people arguing about things that don't really matter instead of coming together and saying, is there a problem here and how do we solve this? You know, I mean, that's really what it was supposed to be, but never was that. You know, we can revisit all that stuff, but it's really an age-old, ridiculous tale of just polarity being created and getting two different groups to hate each other, you know? And I think that's where I keep coming back to, the simplicity of the only way we lose in this thing we call life is if we allow hate into our hearts. It's the only way we lose. You know, if I know I'm a good person and I know I've done nothing wrong, I haven't been ill-intended, there's no reason for me to feel guilty. And if I don't have a guilty conscience, I'm going to sleep really well at night, number one, especially if I'm on my grounding sleep system. I'm going to be sleeping fantastically. But I also get to see the world differently. I get to see the world for the possibilities and potential it can be instead of the problems that they're trying to slam into my face all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you get to find the exit door to the lies, the illusion, the nonsense, the propaganda, the darkness, you know, that's in there. Well, as a man who lives by codes, and something I teach my students to do, you know, to me, nutrition is far more than just a nutrient, far more than just a food or a supplement you can put in your body. Nutrition is the thoughts that we have with ourselves, the philosophies that govern us, that we have chosen consciously to govern us, and the pursuit of a greater expression of ourselves every day. My goal every single day is, if I'm measuring it in length, is to just get 1 inch better every single day. Can I be better today than I was yesterday? And can I aspire to be better tomorrow than I am today? And in order to do that, you know, you have to start taking on certain ideals of, well, I don't want to fall back into bad habits. I don't want to slip back. You know, I don't want to regress. Well, how do you ensure that you don't regress? By maintaining healthy habits, what the Ayurvedics would call japa, the repetition of healthy habits. But there's that word again, repetition, that every new day is a day to repeat the things that have already made you successful. Let me say that again, because it's really good. Every new day is a day to repeat the habits which have made you successful. Now, I'm not talking about money when I talk about success. I think that's a ridiculous thing too. I'm talking about the strength of your relationships and how you feel about your life. That's success. Who's in control of how you feel about you? You are. When you take that mantle of responsibility on yourself and use it to uplift who you are in a good relationship with yourself. When you tell God, I love you every day and mean it, you're in a good relationship with God. When you are doing things kindly for the people you love and they are reciprocating those things without needing to be asked, you are in a good relationship. That's success. The imaginary numbers that often come with that are just the imaginary numbers. But of course, we know now in this day and age, so many imaginary numbers that get accumulated in people's accounts come from doing wrong action, being sadly evil, for lack of a better description. So for me, what that does is that says, hey, I want to make sure I'm doing good things every day. So in my days, folks, when I start, I want to share with you, I want to give you a window into how I do what I do. I am one of the most productive human beings on the planet. That's not me bragging. That's just a fact. I can back it up with all the stuff that I've produced, especially just in the last few years. How did I do that? How do I do it in a way that still have this optimism about me, this hope? How do I do it in a way that makes me want to do it again the next day still and get excited for the next day that's coming? How do I do it in a way that brings people together? How do I do it in a way that makes me feel good? And believe me, there are times I go through exhaustion. Of course, I'm sure you've heard it on the radio show. You hear it in my voice sometimes. That's what I'm out about. So I'm not repeating the healthy habits. So when I wake up in the morning, my first thought is, I love you, God. Thank you for this new day. That's my first thought. There's some variation thereof. Because I remember and understand I didn't have to wake up today. And the root truth of it is I didn't have to exist. And that is a fundamental thing that I keep saying. If you've been listening to me for years, you know I've been saying this for a very long time. So I really want you to get that fundamental point. I didn't have to exist. And once you accept that truth, that you didn't have to exist, it makes every single day a blessing. Every single day a gift. Even the days that suck. And there are days that suck. Still a gift. Still better than never having existed at all. Next thing is I take a deuce. I go and get yesterday's waste out of my colon. I go and sit on the potty and have my feet up and elevated, my knees above my hips. I'm standing on my squatty potty. And usually I'm reading. Usually I have a book that I start reading. You know, right now it's Cross Currents by Dr. Becker. Some mornings it's not. Some mornings it's just, I'll turn on the phone, which I don't like doing early just because I know there's some teamwork that has to be done. Like today I had to get started like at 6 o'clock on some teamwork for Healing for the Ages. And that happens sometimes. Not my preferred, but it happens. After that, my next thing is yoga or a sauna, infrared sauna. Where I have a grounding mat in there, and of course I can ground when I'm doing yoga, or just sitting outside and getting some sunshine on me. Now today I went outside for a second, but I didn't really sit down and let the sun do its magic on me. I spent more time in the sauna. So I'm going to go and sit in the sauna and sweat out, get more of yesterday out of me. Why? Because I was feeling that my skin was a little tight. I was feeling that I had maybe a little bit of weight on my heart. How do you clear stagnant heart energy? You clear stagnant heart energy by sweating. That's what sweating really does. It's really, really, it's a nifty little trick. Then after that, I will make sure I pray if I haven't already prayed. But I usually like to purify my body before I pray. So I will then pray. And then after that, meditation, have some moments of just breathing, letting myself hear my breath. I love to put my earplugs in. So when you put earplugs in to your ears, you can really, really hear each breath and get into the sound of it and the feel of it. And what is it feeling like in your body? And once I've done all of that for myself, now I have something that I can give. I feel good, so I can give that goodness in my day. Repetition of healthy habits. And because I feel good about my day and I'm now ready to give because I've given to myself, it makes it easier for me to keep my codes of conduct at the forefront of my decision-making and my interactions in the world. My codes of conduct, my yamas, no harm, truth, no stealing, loving communication, compassion, endurance, humility, forgiveness, cleanliness, building unity, and eating a moderate organic diet. I then go through my niyams, austerity, appreciation, modesty, charity, sacrifice, discernment, japa, celebration, yuha, listening to my heart's first thought, being kind each day, and trusting and believing in the perfection of the Tao and the perfection of God's divine plan for us all. Now, did you notice something right there? That was on demand. That's not me reading something on a script. That's a part of who I am. It's a part of my neurosynaptic plasticity. By repeating those codes over and over again and never violating, I have changed the way that my brain anatomically is organized. I've changed the shape of my brain. And I've changed, therefore, the functioning of that brain, because shape dictates function. And the result of having codes and like the yamas and the niyamas and being able to recite them is very simple. Happiness, awe, amazement, joy, positive thought process, solving problems. That's the mentality. I had a big problem this morning. Solve it. It's all done. Didn't lose any energy over it. Didn't get upset, any of that stuff. You understand what I'm saying, Hewitt? This is all within your grasp, all within your control. When you understand the value of newness, of course, we need it. We need new experiences. We constantly need new experiences. That you share and marry that with the value of repetition. Because I'm going to tell you this right now as we close it down for the day. If you can't recite your codes of conduct on demand, you don't have any, which means you're living by convenience. And as long as it's convenient for you to do things that are right, you'll do them. But when it's no longer convenient for you to do what's right, you won't. And that's the danger of living only for newness and not incorporating repetition in what you're doing. We'll pick up from here in the next episode on Looking for Healing Radio next week. I want to talk with you about the Oath of the Healer and some of the things I've written that I think are very important for this day and age. I'm Dr. Henry Ely for the Energetic Health Institute and Energetic Health Radio, wishing you a beautiful day wherever you may be. May God shine his divine light down upon us all. Everyone we love and surround us in the protection of his warm and healing embrace. May we have the wisdom, courage, and openness to receive these blessings as they find us. I say you all have a beautiful weekend or weekday or weeknight, wherever you may be. Aloha and adios.